All right, this is just a kind of ranty rant about relationships as a whole, particularly sexual, romantic, marital relationships, because something kind of sad has happened in the generic Star Trek copy-paste human goo blob of the idea of male and female. And this, either unconsciously, by design, or whatever, doesn't really matter, but in portraying men and women as the same, right? So the demand for equality is the claim of sameness. The demand for equality is the claim of sameness. All human beings are equal, therefore all human beings possess, say, property rights and so on, right? So saying I'm the same is saying I should be treated equally, right? We don't have the same rights for rabbits as people because rabbits and people are not the same. The gender pay gap is an appeal to resentment and the sameness. Men and women should be paid the same, which is to say that men and women are the same. And I'll give you an example. So I'm a younger brother, and when my brother and I were kids, he got to stay up later and he got more allowance. And this seemed unfair to me. And it was explained to me with varying degrees of patience that I was not the same as my brother because I'm 2.5 years younger, or 2 years and change, or whatever, right? And so when he was 8 and I was 6, I had to go to bed earlier and I didn't get as much allowance. Actually, no, I didn't get any allowance at 6. When he was, say, 10 and I was 8. And it was explained that when I was 10, I would get the same allowance as he did. And when he was 6, he got the same allowance as I did, or when he was 8. And so we weren't the same and things were different. And that sort of made sense to me. When I worked up north, for some time period that I worked up north, I worked with a friend of mine. Let's call him Bob. Now, Bob had a year of university, and I only had high school. And Bob was paid $100 more a month because the company would give $100 more a month per year of university. However, of course, the fact was that Bob did exactly the same job that I did. His university, which was a math and physics double major, had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the work that we were doing, which was gold panning and prospecting and so on. So that, to me, felt unfair. We were doing the same job. He was a little bit older. He had 1 year of university, which he then left, and I had no university. We were doing exactly the same job, but he was paid $100 a month more than I was. And, I mean, $100 is $100, but back then this would be like, I don't know, $300 or $400 probably, right? Sort of 40 years ago. Oh my God, I'm getting old. It beats the alternative. So that's an example of where things are unfair, that we should be treated the same because we're doing the same job. So the demand for equality is based upon sameness, right? Is based upon the perception of sameness. So I did a show many years ago about different ethnicities, different capacities for athletic abilities. Some ethnicities have more fast-firing muscles. I think the average Indian male has the grip strength of your average Brazilian female, and so on. So there's just different. Now, of course, people can train and blah, 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 but talking about the general default situation or position is that there are significant. There are significant or statistically measurable differences between races in general with regards to athletic abilities. Like every runner comes from a particular, like every world-class runner comes from a particular area or location or region in Kenya and so on, right? So there's certain differences. So demanding equality is based upon everyone being the same. So if you have a band where there's a really great singer and no one else can sing, demanding equal time at the microphone, right? So in the band Queen, Freddie Mercury was a great singer, and John Deacon, by his own admission, the bassist, still a great songwriter. He wrote like Another One Bites the Dust. He wrote You're My Best Friend. He wrote a goodly number of their hits. And by his own admission, he couldn't sing. So would it make sense in the band to say that everyone should get equal time singing as the lead? No. They did occasionally switch singing duties. Brian May sang, what did he sing? He sang 39, and he sang a lovely little song called All Dead, All Dead. It's better when you don't know what it's about. But yeah, he sang a few leads, although Freddie generally took the lead live, right? They didn't do All Dead live, but they did 39 live, and Freddie would sing the lead. Freddie's voice was more reliable. Brian May has got a nice voice, but it changes a lot, sort of unreliable live. So John Deacon never sang a lead because he can't sing. So if everyone were to say, well, you know, if we've got 8 songs, then we should each sing 2 leads, right? The drummer, Roger Taylor, sang lead, I think only on I'm In Love With My Car, which is a pretty wretched song, but what the hell? I mean, he didn't sing leads. He's got a kind of raspy voice. It's fine for harmonies, but not for lead as a whole. Bound to be the loser in the end or something. Loser in the end, I think he sang on that back in his gravelly Robert Plant days. So the demand for equality has within it the demand or the belief in sameness. And it is to say that the position of people as a whole in an organization is arbitrary because everybody's interchangeable. So this idea or belief that everyone is interchangeable is foundational to leftism, to Marxism, that everyone is interchangeable and that there are no foundational differences. So for instance, they say everyone is interchangeable. So in a corporation, let's say that there are 1,000 employees and 1 CEO, right? There's 1,000 employees and 1 CEO. So everyone is interchangeable. So the only reason the CEO gets paid more is he's more exploitive, he's more malevolent, he's more grasping, he's more greedy, whatever it is, right? That's the only reason that the CEO would be paid more, because everyone can be the CEO. People are equal, not in opportunity or rights or properties as generic human beings, but people are equal. People are equal. The boss is only the boss because he's a mean guy who's willing to exploit the workers. He's not the boss because he can do something that the employees can't do. So when a band tours, there's the band, and then there's the roadies, right? The people who move the heavy stuff around and hoist it up and get it sorted and set and so on, right? Now, the roadies are important because you need a light show, you need amplification, you need mic and speakers and all of that, right? So the roadies are important, for sure, but nobody's there to see the roadies. The roadies are not interchangeable with the band. You can't have a concert, at least a large concert, without the roadies, but nobody's there to see the roadies. And the roadies are more interchangeable because lots of people can move stuff around and hang stuff and all of that, run the cables, but only the band is the band, right? If you buy a ticket to see the Rolling Stones, then you want to see the Rolling Stones, right? So the roadies are interchangeable and the Rolling Stones are not interchangeable, right? I remember a friend of mine bought a tape back in the day and Simon and Garfunkel, it said, right? He thought, oh, Simon and Garfunkel, that's nice. And then at the top, it said, sounds like. It sounds like Simon and Garfunkel. And it was two guys. I mean, didn't sound totally opposite, but it wasn't Simon and Garfunkel, right? It sounds like Simon and Garfunkel. You go see the band with great excitement. You don't see the cover band, right? So there's a band in Ontario, I can't remember their name, and they are a police cover band. They cover the Police and Sting and so on, right? And you can go and see them in a bar. But the Police can sell out a stadium if they were to reunite and tour. I guess Sting's voice getting a little old now, but when they did reunite, 2007 or something like that, I mean, they sold out stadiums. The people want to see the original, they don't want to see the copy, right? So there's this general concept that everyone's the same, and the only reason that some people have more is they're more unscrupulous. People are not fundamentally different in their capacities and abilities and so on. Because that's the big barrier, right? So once you accept that people are very, very different in their intelligence and abilities and conscientiousness and physical characteristics, like some people can open their mouths and sing. Who was it? I remember the guy who sang lead for Van Halen for a while. Sammy Hagar. Well, Sammy Hagar got a great voice. And I remember reading an interview with Sammy Hagar from sort of back in the day. And he was saying, yeah, I was singing along to the radio and people are like, wow, that's great. And, you know, so he didn't have any training. He just sang along to the radio and people were like, whoa, that's great. And I remember actually being at a party many years ago and singing along to David Bowie's Let's Dance, right? Tremble like a flower. And people were like, wow, that's really good. And, you know, it wasn't that great, but it was nice. Nice to hear, right? So he's just born with a great voice. Freddie Mercury never took singing lessons. He wanted to sound kind of raw, didn't want to sound too professional. So he just up and sang. And look, I mean, the guy was dying of AIDS when he was recording the show Must Go On. And Brian May was like, Freddie, like, you're sick. You're half, like, you're failing, that these notes are too high. Let's, you know, and he's like, no, darling, I'll get them. Right. And he just went and slaughtered those notes. Right. He did like Too Much Love Will Kill You in like one take and just absolutely murdered that vocal. So, you know, dying, he's an infinitely better singer than me in my prime, you know? And so he's just different pipes, different, right? Just fundamentally different. Him without lessons is almost infinitely better than other people, even with lessons. So, and I'm sure you've tried different things over the course of your life. And I'm sure that you've stuck with the things that kind of come naturally and easily and instinctively to you. I think I've tried to play 3 different instruments over the course of my life. I spent 10 years on violin, and I was not great. It was okay. I tried for a couple of months to learn guitar. I think I learned 1 or 2 songs, and I was just like, my fingers are short and stubby. I don't really get what's going on, and it hurts playing it till my fingers split. It wasn't for me. I've tried piano not too long ago when my daughter was learning piano. My wife plays some piano. And when my daughter was learning piano, I sat down with her, and even with the apps and on the iPad and so on, it was like, oh, that's nice. You know, I kind of get it, but it just didn't kind of click with me. It didn't, right? And other things like computer programming and logic and debate and philosophy, those things just kind of, they flow out of me. Like I'm like a geyser. I'm like a river, right? The Ganges, but, you know, cleaner. And so those things, they make sense to me. I follow them. I understand them. And they just work. So it's easier. It's just way easier for me. And so I'm sure that you have the same thing. You find something that works for you and that you like, that comes relatively easily to you. It could be carpentry. It could be graphics design. Like you just like graphics design. I have no clue. Like not even a bit. I'm like not only not good at it, I'm literally retarded at it. I do not have any sense of placement or color or proportion. Never works for me. Don't have a clue. It just doesn't, right? It doesn't fit at all. So we're different. Different skills, abilities, and sort of exactly what you would expect. So on the left, they don't recognize differences in ability. They hate the IQ discussion with a virulent passion, not only within a particular ethnicity, but IQ differences between ethnicities. It's just anathema to them. They can't stand it. It goes against their entire worldview that everyone's the same. And the cry of unfair is the cry of the weaker people who want the benefits of stronger people, in the same way that my cry of it's unfair that I have to go to bed earlier and get less allowance or pocket money from than my brother, that's a cry for unfair. It's a cry from weakness. I cannot get my own resources. I can only appeal to those in authority to give me as much as other people who get more, right? That's the whole gig and the whole game, right? If you are in a weakened state and you cannot get your own resources through your own effort, and this is particularly true for younger siblings, and I did a research that showed that socialists are disproportionately younger siblings, then you cannot get additional resources through your own effort and labor, because I couldn't get more pocket money. I mean, I guess I could have whined and complained, but then my brother would have complained too, and rightly so. It sort of makes sense, right? So you can only complain to those in authority and claim that it's unfair and that you should be getting what the other person is getting, which is what socialism is, right? Complains to the government and has the government negotiate. It's the same as women when they complain to the government that the government has to negotiate on their behalf and so on, right? They don't feel that they can negotiate for their resources, but they feel that it's unfair that they're not getting the same as everyone else. And so they go to the government and complain in the same way that I couldn't get more money out of my mother's purse or get to stay up later if she didn't want me to. So I complained to her, said things were unfair, and said, my brother and I are fundamentally the same. We are the same, and therefore we should get the same benefits, right? Staying up later, more pocket money. So with males and females, this is a huge part of the conflicts and problems between men and women at the moment. And the conflict and the problem goes something like this. Men and women are better at different things. Now, if you recognize and accept that men and women are better at different things, then you can, as the French say, vive la différence, right? Celebrate the difference, enjoy, and be happy about the difference in the same way that you want, you know, if you're straight, you want your lover to have not the same genitals as you. That's kind of the definition of being straight, is you have an outie, you want someone with an innie, and vice versa, right? But you don't want to have the same sexual organs, otherwise you're gay or a lesbian. So wanting things to be different is natural, and men and women are better at different things. If you subscribe to the idea that you and your wife or you and your husband should be the same, then you are gearing yourself up for endless, pointless, stupid conflicts. I mean, I remember after I got married, just looking at my wife and like, she's very different from me. And that's right. So it's not just because, I mean, loving women is more than genitals, right? A woman is not a man with a vagina. A man is not a woman with a penis. It's psychological as well, that you want women to be different from men. If you're male, a lover, to be different from you, not just physically, but psychologically as well. And you kind of need her to be that way. You need her to be different. Because if she's not different, then you're gay. So if you have succumbed to this, and it's not a blame thing. I mean, it's the propaganda is everywhere, and it's, you know, really toxic and harmful. But if you have succumbed to this propaganda of men and women are the same, then you will judge your wife by the things that you're good at. And your wife will judge you by the things that she's good at, which means you're going to end up in a bottomless vat of near infinite contempt. I'm not kidding about this. A bottomless vat of near infinite contempt. So, for instance, if you think that your wife should be as good at configuring your Wi-Fi router as you are, then you will view her as kind of retarded. It could be anything, right? Just sort of take a typical example, right? If you expect your wife to be as good at maintaining the outside of the house, building cabinets and repairing drywall as you are, then you will view her as incompetent. If your wife judges you by your ability to give birth, right, you're going to be viewed as infertile and broken and wrong and bad and whatever it is, right? As incompetent at giving birth. I mean, that's at least a more extreme example. But an example would be women tend to be very good at remembering and maintaining things like anniversaries and birthdays and the status of other people's relationships and who said what to whom and so on, right? They tend to be very good at that kind of stuff. And it's great. I mean, that's a kind of social glue that keeps communities together and so on, right? That's all. That's good stuff. I'm terrible at it. I have known for many years, I had a friend of mine who's like, oh, I'm so sick and tired of forgetting everyone's birthdays and anniversaries. I'm just going to put it in my phone and remember and blah, blah, blah. And I don't need to because my wife remembers all of these things with no prompts. I can quiz my wife if I want to on like, oh, yeah, here's someone we met once. When's their birthday? Boom, she knows it. Good luck, right? I spend approximately 230% of my day looking for things. I'm kidding. It's not that bad, but I don't remember things, right? I don't remember those kinds of things. Principles, I remember. Arguments, I remember. Birthdays, anniversaries, and so on, right? If people want to tell me a secret, I tell them, do not tell me a secret, right? I mean, if I know them, right? It's different if they're calling in, right? But if someone wants to tell me a secret, I will tell them, don't tell me that secret, because I have no memory whatsoever of who knows what and who is aware of the secret and who isn't aware of the secret and what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not. I don't. So I just say to people, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't give me your secrets. My wife is a vault and understands all of these things, and it's great. Now, if my wife were to judge me by my memory of people's anniversaries, christenings, birthdays, special events, whatever it is, right? Then she would view me as mentally challenged, as handicapped, fundamentally, right? If I were to judge my wife by her ability to hang on to abstract arguments from 20 years ago, then I would view her. I mean, she's pretty good at it, but I mean, she's not as good at it as I am. If I were to judge my wife by her ability to evaluate what kind of cell phone plan we need, you know, like a lot of women, I think I've explained to both my wife and my daughter approximately 4,000 times the difference between cellular data and Wi-Fi data. And yet my wife, to this day, and probably until the end of time, will say, when she's out and about and doesn't have cell data, she will say, my Wi-Fi isn't working. I don't think she's trolling me. I wouldn't put it past her. No, she just, like in the same way my mother referred to, we bought her a CD player, and she still referred to it as her gramophone. And my wife has a phone that is so old, it's basically an abacus with a power cable attached. It takes full-on potato cam. She will not upgrade it. I'm happy with my phone. Thank you very much. And I'm not a huge upgrader. I still use an iPhone 12. So I'm not a huge upgrader, but I'm willing to do it. And literally when I say, look, you know, we could get a very cheap or almost free upgrade. Nope, I'm happy with what I've got. And, you know, I could beat my head against that. But, you know, she's just different from me. She's happy with what she's got. She's good with the tech. She knows where everything is. And I'm like, okay. And so I can judge her by my standards. But if I'm going to judge her by my standards, I'm not sure what the point of being straight is. Because being straight means being attracted to women. And women are not just their genitals, right? And so it is being attracted to the female. And the female is very different from the male. Strengths and weaknesses, just as you'd expect. Why would nature give us both the same abilities when nature designed us to do very different things? Men are designed to go out there and conquer and farm and hunt and fight, and women are designed to be home and community and nurturing and raise children and keep them alive. And right, so we are very different, right? It's like saying, well, a garbage truck should be the same as a sports car. It's like, well, no, they're designed for very, very different things, right? So in relationships, and it's important to review this, right? So a lot of women will get frustrated because their husbands don't care as much about the home as the women do. So for instance, before my wife runs the dishwasher, she will say, are there any cups or plates around? I look around and I can't actually see that far because I've built myself a little cathedral of coffee cups and plates around me. So she says, is there any? I'm like, yeah. Any in the basement? Any there? Right, yes. And if I step on something crunchy, which is very rare because my wife keeps a very clean house. If I step on something crunchy, I'm like, oh, if my wife steps on something crunchy, she, you know, faster than the fastest draw in the West, Luke Skywalker on cocaine drawing his lightsaber could not be faster than my wife grabbing the vacuum cleaner, the mop and the bucket or whatever it is to remove the offending grit from the floor, right? That's not something that's going to last very long. And of course, my wife with her cell phone, forgot to mention, the fact that she's happy keeping around things that are aging out, I probably should not try and dislodge that principle too much because I'm, well, anyway, I think we get that. I think we understand. I think you know where I'm coming from, which is a long frickin' time ago. So I'm not going to judge my wife by the things I'm good at. And that's mutually assured destruction. I don't want her judging me by the things I'm good at. So, you know, typical example is wives cook inside the home and husbands cook on the grill, the barbecue, the hibachi outside the home. And that's certainly the way that it works in my house. So when women get frustrated because men aren't as conscious or aware or interested or focused or whatever at keeping a clean house or a tidy house or whatever it is, well, that's complaining about being straight. Men and women are different. And, you know, there's a lot of variation. You know, these are generalities, blah, blah, blah. We all understand that. We're all intelligent people who understand the bell curve and overlapping circles and Venn diagrams and right. But it's a fact. And so judging your wife by the things you're good at. So let's say that you are more, as a man, you are more direct and maybe confrontational. Maybe. And your wife is not. Do you think that she's deficient? Do you think that if she has a problem with her friend, her female friend, if she has a problem with her female friend, like if you have a problem with your male friend, you say, hey, you know, like you did this thing, it kind of pissed me off, whatever, right? Don't do it again, or let's talk about it, whatever it is, right? So as a man, you say that, right? And as a woman, do you expect your wife to be the same way? If so, congratulations, you may be gay. I don't mean this is any kind of insult. It's just that if you want your wife to be like you, you want your wife to have the mindset of a man. Or was it old Kevin Samuels when he would send some really aggressive woman would be in the chat? He'd be like, hey, put your dick up. You're sounding like a man. My kids. So you don't want your wife to be a man. And women, because you've been given this, everyone's the same kind of blob stuff. Men and women are different. We're just shaped different and so on. You know, I mean, this is part of the whole question of male to female, female to male, and so on. Like, it's just a physical thing, right? But I believe also there's a general mindset, which can't be discussed because of the leftist obsession, which is a resource acquisition strategy of claiming everyone's the same, and therefore everyone should get paid the same. Again, not to hyper-focus on Queen, but Queen used to have endless fights about royalties, right? So you'd sell a 45 with Bohemian Rhapsody on one side, and I'm in love with my car on the other, and nobody's buying the 45 for I'm in love with my car, and what percentage royalties, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually they just did 25, 25, 25% royalties on everything they did. But unfortunately, the songs weren't as good. So the unfairness. It's not fair. So unfairness is predicated on the belief that everyone is of equal value, and therefore all disparities in outcome are the result of prejudice, exploitation, injustice, meanness, racism, sexism, blah, 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 right? So people, you know, you see these endless, CEOs are paid 300 times the median worker's salary, blah, 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 okay? Up from, you know, 100 times or 50 times 40 years ago. It's like, oh, well, business is more or less complicated 40 years ago. Were they more international or less international? Was there as much IT? Do they have AI? Do they have multi-language issues? Is the skill required to be a CEO higher or lower now than it was 40 years ago? Are companies bigger, more complex, more international, more multi-language, is there new technological issues that, you know, that kind of stuff, right? These are sort of pretty important questions. Because, of course, if you just think in terms of physical, right, it's not like the CEO is 300 times taller. Or if you think of, I don't know, cutting down trees or something, can the CEO cut down 300 times more trees than the average? Well, no. So when it comes to physical labor, you're limited, right? Mental labor is a whole different thing. You know, if you've got some local folk singer who's doing a tour and the Rolling Stones are making 300 times more, probably way more than that, is it, well, I mean, he's touring 100 days, right? Are they doing 3,000 days a year? No, it's impossible, right? So are they doing 300 times more? No, but that doesn't scale. Physical labor, height, you know, whatever, that scales. But other things don't scale. They are not, it's asymptotic, right? Sorry, it's exponential, right? In terms of the value. It's not a straight line. You know, a strong guy might be able to cut down 3 times more trees than a weak guy. Okay, so maybe he should get 3, but not 300 times more, right? That kind of thing, right? So that viewpoint where you don't understand the value of unscalable labor. I mean, lots of people write songs. There are millions of songs written every month, every year. Millions of songs. But why does Taylor Swift get a $1 billion tour? Because she writes songs that people really, really like. And she has a particular look and charisma and performing ability and great singing voice, or at least good singing voice, you know, all of that kind of stuff, right? So it's certainly good for what she does, right? She's no Maria Callas or even Whitney Houston, but it's good for what she does, right? So the blob is a woman is a man with a vagina, a man is a woman with a penis, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, it's fiercely defended, right? This blob, everyone's the same. Everyone should get the same opportunities, which is fine. Everyone should get the same opportunities and everyone should get similar outcomes because we're all the same. And that just means that you generally know people who aren't exceptional. Like once you know people who are exceptional, I remember a boss of mine many years ago was telling me about a boss he used to have who ran a chain of grocery stores. And he remembers going up and down the grocery store aisle with this old boss. And the old boss was like, oh yeah, the profit margin on these can of peas is this. And this was cost this raw and this company paid this amount to have it at eye level. Like he just knew absolutely everything about absolutely everything in the store. Now, if you look at your wife's strengths and appreciate all of this stuff that she brings, and if your wife looks at your strengths and you recognize that you are foundationally different, right? Yeah, good rights, opportunities, but it's all the same, all humans, right? But in terms of the various skill sets that you bring to bear, right? So the singer who can't play guitar should sing and not play guitar. And the guitarist who can play guitar but not sing should play guitar and not sing. They both, hopefully the guitarist looks at the singer who's a great singer and says, wow, that's really great. And hopefully the singer looks at the great guitarist and says, wow, that's really great. In the same way that the salesman should appreciate the really good accountant for doing the accounting, and the accountant should appreciate the really good salesman for doing the sales. That's all a big plus. But if the salesman looks at the accountant and says, ugh, that guy doesn't sell anything, and the accountant looks at the salesman and says, that guy couldn't balance a spreadsheet to save his life, well, they're going to resent each other. You see? They're going to resent each other. If the guitarist looks at the front man in a band and says, oh, that guy gets all the attention, even more groupies and blah, 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 and he resents the front man, even though he can't be the front man because he can't sing, well, that's not good. He's going to resent, right? As opposed to saying, well, thank God we've got a great front man because he's really good and blah, 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 right? I mean, this was in an interview with Stuart Copeland, the drummer for The Police. He never once thanked Sting for coming up with all these great songs, which is the only reason the band was on the map, is that Sting wrote really great, catchy pop rock hits, like relentlessly, just came pouring off his pen. It's amazing. And he said, yeah, I never really appreciated it, never said thanks, never anything like that, right? And that's just lack of appreciation, and that's why the band broke up. So Can you look at your wife? Look at your husband. Look at your boyfriend. Look at your girlfriend. Look at your family members. Look at your sister. Look at your brother. They're all different. Can you appreciate their strengths? Or do you merely compare your strengths with their weaknesses and feel superior and have contempt? I gotta say, I used to think this was more female to male. I actually think it's kind of equal at the moment, that you get exasperated at other people. The accountant gets exasperated at the salesperson for not doing accounting, and the salesperson gets exasperated at the accountant for not doing the selling, and it's like, but why? Fundamentally different personality types, fundamentally different introvert, extrovert, conscientiousness. Salespeople are notoriously late in filing expense reports and are not doing a lot of detail work. So I hope that helps, because I really do want everyone's relationships to be better, for you to have love and for you to enjoy and relish the differences. Vive la différence. And if you'd like to help out the show, freedomain.com/donate. Thank you so, so much. Lots of love. Bye.